Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Hello, everybody. What a beautiful, beautiful moment. What a beautiful time to be in church. Happy Spring Day to all of you who are rocking the flowers. Flowers, flowers, short sleeve shirts. Joburg, spring, life. All we need is a bit of rain, bring some life to it. Welcome to each and every one of you joining us online today. What a beautiful sense of the presence of God in our auditorium at the moment. Spring is on the way,
yes.
New seasons, and can sense the touch of God in the building. So welcome to each and every one of you, whether you're in the building or whether you're online. Come, let's lift our hearts to heaven. And you know, anytime in scripture people lifted their hearts to heaven, they would also lift their hands to heaven, lift their eyes to heaven. God, we pray today, we ask you for your blessing over our lives. We ask you for your touch. We ask you that you would speak to us today from your word. Lord, we pray that you would do profound and personal things in us today. Pray that you would form our hearts today, Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through your Scripture. We pray that you would speak really personally, that the Word of God would just become very personal to us today. It would speak to us, each one of us, in Jesus' name. Everybody who is in the building and online. How good is it to be back in the building for the first time? So many of us, hey? It is awesome. Said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a seat. Oh, how good is it to be together? It really, really is. And talking about spring, if you've ever had the opportunity, or if you ever have the privilege of going to the Namaqua land. It's this little stretch of land up the Western Cape coastline, just up from Cape Town. Kind of start driving and head up west. It's the land of David Cromer and Red Fillies, if you've ever seen that or seen him. It's the land of hospitality. It's the land of snook and bride snook, the Namaqua land. It's a very special place. It really, really is. And the thing about the Namaqua land is this. The thing that makes it the most special is that if you go there all throughout the wintertime, right up to the end of August, you're going to go and there'll be a visual for you. You'll see some red earth. It's just going to be a bikkie droog. You know what I mean? But come September, that same land transforms into a wonderland of flowers. It's just the most beautiful thing, how this place transforms into a wonderland of wildflowers. Every color under the sun that you can see, including daisies that are the color of Thrive Orange. The thing about the Namaqua land desert is that it has something beautiful in it. But most of the year, it spends its life as a desert. But there's this time, there's the season when the desert bursts to life. And there's this great gift that the desert gives our country of this wildflower show for literally 800 kilometers or something up the coast. It's beautiful. The point that I'm making is the desert has gifts. We're in a series at the moment called Thin Places, where the Holy Spirit meets us. One of the most profound, one of the most powerful, and one of the most personal thin places for each one of us in different times in our lives is the thin place called the desert. You know those desert times in our lives? Dry. desolate, difficult, disappointing, despairing times. You know those times, those desert times when it feels like nothing's happening. It feels like there's just nothing going on. It might be a desert relationally, might be a desert financially, might be a desert in your work life, in your career. It doesn't seem like the next steps in your job are happening. It might be a desert in your business. Might be a desert in your marriage. Might be a desert in your friendship times. Might be a desert season in your health. All of us, bar none, each one of us goes through the desert seasons, don't we? Seasons where it feels dry. Seasons where it feels rough. Seasons where it feels like there's just nothing going on. Today I want to proclaim to you. Today I want to speak over each one of us, physically and online. I want to speak over us. I want to declare to each one of us the good news that the desert has gifts. That it can be in a remarkably thin place. It can be a place where God meets with us, where the Holy Spirit meets us personally, profoundly, powerfully. The desert was a thin place for Jesus. It was a place where he came and where, in fact, he was led into by the Holy Spirit. He gets led, in fact, the desert that he got led into happened just after this beautiful time where God the Father affirms him. The scene is Jesus' baptism. Jesus gets baptized. There's this moment where heaven opens. Heaven opens and God the Father speaks. The Holy Spirit kind of descends in this form like a dove. And then God the Father says to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And we see this picture of the Godhead. We see the picture of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this one scene. And it's like this scene that nourishes Jesus' soul. It's like the scene and the season where Jesus has got the smile of heaven on him. And the very next season is a desert season. Isn't it remarkable how one season can follow the other? You and I can go through seasons of great, where the sense is like an open heaven above us, and the very next thing you know, you're in a desert. And yet, the desert has gifts. Remarkable thin places where the Holy Spirit meets us. So let's dive into it today. Jesus is in the desert. We're going to read it together from the first book of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 4, and from verse 1 to 11 today. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and he became very hungry." The understatement of the century. How many of you would be not after 40 days and 40 nights? "During that time, the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God,'" if you're taking notes today, can I invite you to notice with me specially the "if you are"? Because it appears twice. And then there's a third interaction, which is a follow-up to the "if you are." "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus said to him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay, strike one. Strike two. "Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you are the Son of God,'" notice that "if you are the Son of God" again. Anytime there's something happens twice in Scripture, we must pay special close attention to it because there's something going on there. "Jump off, for the Scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The Scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. If you're taking notes today, or if you're especially looking to draw out of this something profound today, circle the word kingdoms. It's profoundly important, as we'll see later. Anyway, so the devil says, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he says, I'll give it all to you if you'll just kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. There's a beautiful picture, a painting called Jesus in the Desert, Christ in the Desert, by an artist called Kramskoy. I want to invite you with me today to look at it. To look at it. It's a profound picture because it paints the picture of Christ in the desert in a profound state of dependence. Jesus is experiencing the devastation of the desert here in very, very deep ways. Notice his posture. Notice how he's sitting. Notice how it appears that he's conserving energy. Notice how he's sitting, wringing his hands. Notice the utter poverty of his personhood. He doesn't even have sandals on. Notice how he seems to be somewhat withdrawn. Notice how it seems like he's enduring, isn't he? It seems like he's hanging on by a thread. He seems hungry to me. His face seems emaciated. Notice what the artist has done with his face. He almost looks gray in color, doesn't he? He has this look of despair and difficulty on his face. That Jesus was experiencing the desert profoundly here. I want to say and announce to you today that if you have been through or are currently in a desert experience, you have a Lord, we have a King who has felt what it feels like to be in the desert. He has experienced the utter despair and desperation of the desert. You and I, we do not serve a Lord and a King who does not know what it's like to be utterly and completely devastated and at his wit's end and in a state of utter poverty of means and of poverty of spirit. And yet, the desert is also the place where he was profoundly formed. And that's why I say to you today, this desert has gifts. And if you've lost things, if it feels like you've lost it all, or if it feels like you've lost what's most dear to you, he gets it. He knows. He understands. We don't serve a God who is divorced from our reality. We serve a Lord who leads us into a desert and who felt what you're feeling or have felt. Today, very briefly in our moments, seven things that the desert teaches us. Because here's the thing, if you are taking some notes today, write this down. The desert is the thing that grows the seed of greatness in us. Very few of us, church, if we're really honest with ourselves, very few of us grow anywhere near the depth that we would grow in light spaces and easy spaces than what we would grow in the difficult spaces. The desert is the thing that grows the seed of greatness in us. Great souls are grown through the seasons of struggles and storms and suffering. And today, in these moments that we have, I want to just close the door on winter, literally. I want to kind of scoop it into touch. by just bringing to a finality, just bringing to a sense of closure, a winter of discontent. And before we move on, to just look back and to help us form a theology of desert. That you and I would never again be people that would walk through the desert without a theology of it. In other words, an understanding of it. An understanding of what the desert does in us, of what it forms in us, and the gifts that it gives to us. I think one of the greatest gifts that the desert can give us, if we're alert and if we're paying attention and if we're listening closely, is it can build into you and me a formative theology, a way of understanding God, a view of God that we finally understand Him in just one more dimension. And as modern people, we understand Him in the good. We understand Him in the oases. We understand Him in the happy spaces. But we don't understand Him in the desert that well. So today, very quickly, a few things, seven things that the desert teaches us. Are you ready to go today? Because deserts are testing, deserts are clarifying, deserts are revealing, and they reveal profound truth to us today. Today, I just hope to help with you mine a few of those out so that we'll walk through deserts of the future knowing some things that will change us permanently. Number one, the desert sustains us. The Spirit of God sustains us in the desert. Notice that Jesus gets led by the Spirit of God into the desert, but yet then the Spirit is also the one that sustains Him. I mean, to go 40 days and 40 nights, listen, I can't go without breakfast before feeling a little bit hangry. To go 40 days and 40 nights, how many of you know you've got to be sustained by something other than yourself? Can I suggest to you that it is the Spirit of God that sustains us in our desert seasons? Who is He, the Spirit of God? Well, He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the third component of the Godhead. When we look at God, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Although He's the third person of the Trinity, He is not the third wheel. He's not the guy and his girlfriend and the friend on the date. He's not the third wheel. He's the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father and the Son. The Spirit of God is the very presence of God that inhabits our lives. If you think of God as being water, God can come in different forms, just like water can come in different forms. It can come in ice form, it can come in steam form, and it can come in water form, liquid form. God comes to us in different ways. The most living, the most miraculous, the most ongoing, the most helpful way that God the Father and Christ the Lord come to us is in the abiding, ongoing, sustaining, helping, revealing presence of the Holy Spirit. He is that one in your heart that says to you, hey, that wasn't lekker what you just did there. He is that one that whispers gently to you, you need to forgive. He is that one that invites you to surrender some things that you are battling to surrender. He is the comforting presence in the moments of grief. He is the challenging and convicting voice that reminds us of the things that aren't so life-giving in our lives. When we say that God lives in our hearts, it's not a Sunday school expression. It is the fact that when you and I make Christ our Lord, when you and I decide to follow Jesus, the Spirit of God actually takes up residence in our soul. And He starts to live and breathe. And here's the thing. He is the reality of God in us each day. And He sustains you in your desert. He invites you to invite Him into your desert. We've decided as a church we're going to make special time for the Holy Spirit to be allowed to just breathe on us as a church. 2 weeks' time, the 19th, encounter night. We've got two encounter time slots, both of them at our Edenvale campus, 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. You can go online and you can register for that. And it's just a space where we allow the Spirit of God. If you were at Encounter in our May Encounter, you'll know what went on. It was the most incredibly beautiful space. So many of us found the presence of God tangible and real. That's the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Spirit sustains us in the desert. Number two, fasting can bring a tremendous breakthrough. I mean fasting as in giving up food. Fasting is a profoundly important spiritual practice where we give up something for the physical so we can see breakthrough in the spiritual. Jesus fasts for 40 days, right? That's long. That's long. Do not try that at home. But I just want to highlight for you three things that fasting does for us. Number one is it brings answers to earnest prayer. Number two, it reveals more of God Himself. You won't know it until you've tried it. Just try it. Number three, it brings us an ability, a keen ability, an unbelievable sense of hearing spiritually. We get to discern God's voice a lot more clearly. Three benefits of fasting. It brings answers to earnest prayer, gives us a sense of God's presence that we've never experienced before, and it gives us an ability to hear God's voice. Jesus fasted, shouldn't we? Third lesson from the desert is that the devil wants you to doubt your identity. It's important not to give the devil too much airtime, but it's also important to allow the reality of who he is to be real to us. Scripture says that he prowls around like a lion, seeking anybody he can chow. God, the devil wants you for Sunday lunch and me. And what he does is the first thing that he'll do is he'll attack our identity if you are the Son of God. Have you ever noticed in times when you feel like you've blown it? Maybe it's a season of time where you feel like you can't overcome that sin. You just can't seem to get past that thing. You notice how you feel condemned? Well, that's him. See, call yourself a follower of Jesus, but you haven't got past that yet. See, call yourself a follower of Jesus, yet you're still doing X, Y, and Z. Moments of tragedy. See, you lost that person in your life. God can't possibly love you as his son and daughter. You can't possibly be a child of God if that's how God treats you. See, you've lost so much. Moments of grief as we grieve people, as we grieve loved ones that we've lost. He'll come and he'll say, you see, if God really cared about you, if God really was your father, you wouldn't have lost that person. It's the oldest trick in the book. He comes to Adam and Eve, did God really say? He'll sow doubt in your minds. All we've got to do is be aware of the fact that anytime there's doubt about our identity, anytime we feel condemned, anytime we feel like less than or not lacquer or dirty or like ashamed, it's not God. It's not the Spirit of God. It is the devil. Fourth lesson from the desert is that the devil wants to win through your weakness. Notice how verse 3, he comes to Jesus and he says to him, well, he knows he's hungry. So he says, tell these stones to turn into bread. And can you imagine for Jesus how tempting it must have been? The devil knew that Jesus could do it. So for Jesus to look at a rock, which he could in a word, in just a thought, he could have turned it into the most unbelievable loaf of bread from the bread basket. You know, one of those like a chia butters, the ones that are nice and warm and hot and crispy as they come out the oven, little sprinkle of Portuguese dust on the top of it. You know those ones that you cut and you dip in soup and then... Those ones. So he comes to Jesus in his moment of weakness. How many of you would have been desperate for one of those after 40 days? He'll come to you in your weakness. He'll come to you in your weakness. He'll try and take advantage of your weakness. He'll come to you in your moment of grief. He'll come to you in the desolation of your loss. He'll attack you where you're weakest. He'll attack you in that area where you're struggling to get breakthrough. Not only will he attack you there, but he'll condemn you. He'll put his foot on your neck and tell you you're not good enough. He'll always attack at your point of weakness. He wants to win through your weakness. He'll attack us in our point of weakness when on a Sunday morning we've been like, oh man, it's been so nice to have my croissants and coffee on a Sunday morning. Feeling a little bit lazy. I don't need to be in the building. He'll attack you in your point of weakness as you feel a sense of loss. See, God doesn't care about you. If he did, he wouldn't have allowed you to have lost so much. Lesson number 5, though, and it's a big but. Not like a big but, as in I like big buts and I cannot lie like that. Because I knew some of you were thinking about it. It's the other big but. Here's the but. Scripture brings breakthrough. How does Jesus answer the devil? If we can ask the team just to go back to the painting of Christ in the desert. You just have a moment to look at that picture. I want you to notice the utter poverty of Jesus. He doesn't even have a pair of sandals on his feet. He has nothing, and yet he has everything. He has what really counts. That is a deeply formed, deep well of the knowledge of what God says. Can I suggest to you that the only thing that you and I could use realistically and successfully as a defense against the temptation in the desert and the difficulty of the desert and the despair of the desert and the devastation of the desert when the devil comes to rub it in our faces, the only defense mechanism that you and I have is the same defense mechanism. It was all Jesus had and it was all he's needed, and that was the scripture that lived and breathed inside of him. That's why Psalm 119:11 tells us, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I've hidden it in my heart. Can I suggest to you that not only does fasting bring great breakthrough, not only can we rely on the Spirit of God to sustain us in the desert seasons, but that you and I have an offensive weapon to pull out and to declare in seasons of difficulty, and that is the Word of God, Scripture. It's profoundly important. Here's the question. If Jesus chose it as his weapon of choice, don't you think you should? Sixth lesson is that the devil will want to twist the truth. Kind of linked to the identity question and the weakness question, there's a twist in the truth. He says to Jesus, hey, come on. Chuck yourself off, throw yourself off. He says that God will catch you. Jesus says, you're taking the scripture out of context. You have a twisted motive. As you're in the desert season, be aware of the fact that the devil will try to twist the truth of God's word. He'll try to twist the truth that is true in your lives. The things that are true and are good in your life, he'll look to twist them. You know, if he can get us to take our eyes off of the things that are gifts in our lives, the things that are true and beautiful in our lives, if he can get us to take our eyes off of them or get us to see them, and one of the ways that he does that is he sows seeds of ingratitude into our lives. The truth of what we do have, and he just gets us to take our eyes off of it and go, check, yeah, so much you don't have. Twists the truth of his goodness in our lives. Seventh lesson from the desert is not to trade the kingdom for kingdoms. Capital K, kingdom. small k for kingdoms. So Satan comes to Jesus and he says to him, listen, let me show you all of what is out there. I'll give it all to you if you'll just worship me. What he's saying to him is, give up the kingdom for these kingdoms. What he's saying to him is, give up the great for the good. Give up the really great thing, Jesus, for the many good things. There are many good things in our lives, church, but there's one great thing. It's called the kingdom of God. And as Christ follows, what we're about is the kingdom of God. And what Jesus, what the devil would do is he will move into that space and ask you to give up the kingdom of God for the kingdoms that you can build and I can build. Let me give you an example. Breakfast in bed is a good thing. Breakfast in bed at the expense of being in the house of God is not a great thing. We can pursue the good thing, but the great thing is being together. You with me? Work is a good thing. The gift of family is a great thing. We can pursue the good thing of work and let it dominate the great thing, our family. Are you with me today? Netflix is a good thing, but we can give it up, or we can trade the good thing for the great thing of actually conversing with people in our lives. Food is good. We can give it up for the great thing of health. Oxtail is good. I can pursue that, but at the expense of the great thing of not having a heart attack at 45. Are you with me today? If you're with me, say yes. There was a man in Scripture who gave up the great thing for good things. His name was Rehoboam. He was the son of Solomon. Solomon was a legend at times for some of his life. Rehoboam was a complete disaster. Solomon was wise, Rehoboam was as doff as they come. You know what Rehoboam did? He allowed the gold shields in the temple and in the treasury of God. He allowed the gold shields to be taken to Egypt. It's like some sense of truce, like, and let's just make sure that Egypt hangs with us and doesn't interfere with us. And so he allows the gold to be plundered and he replaces it with these cheap bronze shields. What was he doing? He was giving up the kingdom for kingdoms. He was giving up the great for good. You with me? Deserts have gifts. Deserts are clarifying. Deserts are revealing. Deserts are forming. And while the desert is a land of limitation, it definitely is, while the desert is a land of testing before there's any sort of resting, while the desert is a season of struggle before there's any kind of significance that comes, while the season is a desert of the desert is a season of difficulty before dependence, the desert has gifts. It forms something profound in us. It forms a spiritual strength in us. It forms a vitality to our faith. It forms a steel to our spirit. It forms a depth to our soul. It forms a dependence in us. The desert is a far greater teacher than the valley, than the mountaintop. That's why Thomas Merton, he wrote something incredibly profound. He said, just as bees are driven out by smoke and their honey's taken away from them, so a life of ease drives out the fear of the Lord from a man's soul and takes away all his good works. What I'm saying to us today is the desert has gifts. May you and I experience that, not only today, but into our lives, into the future. Let's pray together. Hey, come church, would you stand with me today? Just really feel such a deep sense of those of you joining us online to connect in with us into what will happen in the building today. And that is just a deep, deep, deep sense that God's drawing many of us into much deeper things, a much deeper followership of Jesus. It's almost like the invitation today that I sense from the Spirit of God is to come deeper, to allow the desert to form you, to abandon a theology that says everything is all right all the time, and to follow Jesus into the desert and sit with him, experience what he experienced, and allow him not only to lead you but to teach you, and for the Spirit of God to come and to form new things in you. So my invitation to you today is for those of you just who want something new formed in them and something deeper formed in them. Where you are, I just want to invite you, slip up your hand. Do you feel like God's just saying something new? Yes, lots of you, lots of you. Just those of you who want to respond to God's invitation today to form something new, something deeper. Yes, yes, so many. We're just going to take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just give you some language to use as you pray. Online as you pray. Father, come and form something much deeper. Deepen our faith, deepen our resolve, deepen our strength, deepen our understanding of you, deepen our hope in the midst of, deepen our commitment and friendship with you, even in spite of. Just deeper, God, deeper, 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 deeper. Holy Spirit, breathe and give something new to us. A new hope, a new revelation, a new strength, a new way of seeing the world, new eyes. Help us to see that the desert has gifts. And as we do so, just let's take a moment where you are to connect with him with that kind of language.
Amen. We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.